Let me just hit this, okay? And it seems like we are recording. Okay, good. All right. So, gang, welcome to the conference call. This is Daryl Davis, and I want to just welcome everybody. I know we still have people who are calling in, and we're going to officially get this call started right now. So first of all, let me welcome everybody, welcome all the new Power Agents. I know some of you, this is your first call calling in, and we also got some people from all parts of the world, as I can see, and you're on different time zones. So I want to thank those of you that had to get up way early or stay up way late to be on this call. Let me just spend a couple of minutes, and so many people, I don't know if you can, Sherry, can you hear that beeping that's happening? Do you hear that?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, just so you all know what that beeping is, those are people that are calling in right now, and so that beeping will go away. As you can tell, it's a lot heavy right now because it's now at 11 o'clock. So, all right. Anyway, a couple of things. So, gang, let me just go over a couple of logistics on this call, and then we're going to officially get the call started where I'm going to get into content with you. First of all, we are recording this call, and right now, we've got everybody muted except for Sherry. Now, what that means is that, you know, you can hear me, but I can't hear you. I do want to hear you, but with as many people as we have in this call, which is so many, that this is the best way to hear it clearly. But I do want to talk to you. I mean, part of what this call is every month is for an opportunity for you to get coaching from me personally. And so I do want you to ask me, you know, a question of something that you're dealing with, a challenge that you want to get resolved. I promise you that your question, there's probably a lot of other people on the call that also have a similar question or challenge. And also, whenever somebody asks me a question, I do try and cover a wide category so that way everybody can get value from it. The real power in this call, though, is you asking me questions. So like I said, right now you're all muted. I'm going to give you instructions on this call how to unmute yourself and do that when you have a question, and that is you hit star 7. So if you hit star 7, don't do it now, but in a moment when I open up the call, you hit star 7, you give it about 10 seconds, there's a delay, and then you'll be able to talk to me and you'll say, hey, Daryl, it's, you know, Sherry from Dallas, Texas, I have a question, all right? So that's the first part I want to talk about. The next thing is I want to remind you the purpose of these calls. Every month what we're going to do is on these calls, I'm going to coach you. Second thing is I'm going to go through the magazine with you. The magazine is on the Power Program website. You need to have your username and password to access the website. If you haven't gotten that or you lost your password or something, on the website there is a chat. There's a chat button. You can chat with somebody. They can help you, or you can email us. And the last thing is I'll probably give you a plan as to things that you need to do the next 30 days. Now, before I open this call up to questions and coaching, and we're going to start with Sherry. She was one of the first people on the call. I just want to acknowledge the fact that today is 9/11, and any of you that are on this call that have been personally impacted by it because you know somebody that that you lost this day, I just want to send out my condolences to you. We've battled every year, whether we should even work on 9/11 and or do this type of, or even like doing this call. This year we were thinking maybe we wouldn't do the call 9/11. But every time I question myself every year, I go through this every year, I remind myself of what of the year that it happened. Actually, real quick, is we had Broadway show tickets to go see a Broadway show with a couple of students. There was a contest that I had, and this student had won the contest. His prize was him and his wife, Broadway show tickets to Chicago with me and my wife at the time. That show happened, was 3 days after 9/11, and we're thinking of canceling and not going into the city. There was still smoke down there at Ground Zero. And we decided that, you know what, the whole point of 9/11 was to for terrorists to put terror into us and to stop us, to paralyze us. And I think the best way to honor the people who did die that day is to not let terror win, and how you not have them win is that you move forward in your life and you participate and you don't hold back. So that's the decision that we made. All right, so with that said, if we all take a deep breath, let's move past that. I just needed to acknowledge today's date. Sherry, so you're on the call, and now, again, Sherry had a question at the top of the call. Some of you were not here when she asked me because we were not officially starting. So, Sherry, let's talk now. What's going on with you? What can I help you with?
I just need that first boost to get on it.
You need a boost just to get going again, huh?
I need that boost to get going again. I'm ready now.
All right, good. All right, so let's come up with a plan. And what you had said to me, Sherry, before we officially started, is that you had taken my live training course. When I was in Dallas, you were pumped. Things went well, but then you had some changes. Your life changed. You made some moves. And that kind of threw you into a bit of a tailspin right now, and you've had a challenge getting back started. Is that right?
Right.
Okay, so I need to ask you a couple of questions so
okay.
I can help you the best. And that is, first of all, do you have how many listings? Did you change companies or with the same company?
I'm with the same company, our company.
Okay, all right, good. And how many listings do you currently have? It may not be a good number, but let me hear it.
Two.
Okay, and what do you think right now is the top thing that you can do in the next 30 days?
Acquire more listings some kind of way.
All right, so get more listings. All right, now have you decided on a plan in doing that?
Yes, I made it. Yes, that's why I'm on the call.
Okay, all right, good. And what is now, other than being on this call, do you have another plan, part of the plan as to what you're going to do to generate more listings?
I'm going to go through my, of course, Aspires, which I finally looked at last night, and pick an area.
Okay. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Say that.
I said pick an area that I need to work in that has Aspires.
Okay, very good. So, you know, here's this is the reason why I'm asking you this, Sherry, and this is for everybody. So there's something that I learned. I had gone on a diet a couple of years ago because I had a contest with a class. There was a class that I was running on Long Island. It was a six-month class, and so I had set this goal to lose X amount of weight and 25 pounds in 6 months, which I did. And, you know, I gained it all back, of course, Sherry, because you know how that works. But regardless of that, I really learned something powerful through that six-month process. And here's what I learned about, you know, creating miracles in your life, being extraordinary. So can I share this with you?
Yes, please.
Because I think it'll help, and it speaks directly to your question, how do you get started again? And this is for everybody. So everybody on the call, here's what I've discovered. Number one is you obviously need to have a clear goal as to something that you want to accomplish. That's the first thing. The second thing, so that's obvious, but the second thing, is, and more importantly, is you need to commit to the plan and not the end result. And let me explain. You know, Sherry, if let's say your goal is, you know, you've got two listings, and let's say in the next 30 days you want to get it up to, or the next 60 days, whatever you goal you set, but let's say you want to get it up to six listings. You know, sometimes when you look at the six and you see that you have two, it's that huge gap of not having those four that sometimes the setting the goal actually forces us to focus on the gap, to focus on what we don't have. Are you hearing me so far?
I got you.
I mean, it's very powerful what I'm saying, because we'll set a goal to say that this is what I want, but in setting the goal, day in and day out, we keep seeing how we're not the goal. We keep seeing that what's missing between where we are and where we want to be. And then the goal almost becomes disempowering and draining. So how we overcome that. So if we let's do it the other way. Let's go back to the weight thing, right? So if my goal was, you know, to lose these 25 pounds and whatever, I think I was like 230 at the time. So now I want to get to whatever it was. If I'm 230 minus 25 and I want to get to 205, I keep seeing how shit, I'm sorry, I shouldn't occur. Heck, I'm only at 229 or 228. And so every time I would get on the scale, it could be very disempowering. So here's what I did was that I focused on the process more so than on the goal itself. So if you look at, okay, so we know what the goal is, let's say to get the 6 listings, so we put it up there, but no, let's not focus on that now. Now what we need to focus on is the actual activities. If you commit to the activities, the goal will happen all by itself. So if, let's say, you need to prospect, so you're going to do the fit, you're doing the expires, you're coming up with a plan, good, great so far. So then the next thing is, all right, I need to look at the for sale by owners. The next thing is what days and what time am I going to actually work on this and making the call? So you come up with a specific schedule, a plan. You don't focus on the goal. You let it alone. And every day when you wake up, you focus more on the plan, the activity, the process, than the actual end result. Is this helping at all?
Yes, it is.
The last thing that I learned too, Sherry, in doing this is to keep making your goal and your process, you keep making it public. So the more people that you say, this is what I'm committed to today, this is what I'm doing today, in doing that, that will also be a sense of accountability. You know, I happen to have that class that I would see once a month. Actually, what happened is once a month they actually had a scale in the class. I had to get on the class scale on the stage in front of them, and we would report on my numbers. So you are also being very public, you being very accountable will also help. So if you have people in your life that can hold you accountable, that's what I recommend that you do also. Now, logistically and technically, are you using the RedX program to help you with the FSBOs and expires?
No, I'm not.
Did you ever set up that free trial, Sherry, that I told students about?
No, I didn't. This is the first, last night was the first time I sat down to get focused.
Okay, darling, this is what I want you to do. Good job. So what I want you to do is go to, I'm typing it in now because I don't even remember. For some reason, I'm drawing a blank on the website, so hang on 1 second. Let me just double check that this is it. The website that I want you to go to, Sherry, and this is for everybody, there is a company called RedX. And what RedX is they have a way to give you the FSBOs and the expires in your market into one database. And they cross-reference it. They tell if people on the do not call list. If somebody is a FSBO and expired, you won't have a duplicate record. Sherry, darling, it takes all the legwork. It does all the legwork for you. It's so much easier to find the leads, okay?
Is that REDX or REDEX?
Great question. It's REDX, but I'm going to tell you a website to go to because I negotiated a deal with this company. See, this company, they charge $150 setup fee, and it's $110 a month for FSBOs, expires, and pre-foreclosures. Now, the deal that I have exclusive, no other speaker has this because I'm considered the FSBO expert, is that you get the $150 is waived. You don't pay that setup fee, and you don't you get the first 30 days at no charge. So you can hopefully, you should get a listing within the 30 days that will pay for, you know, the next 5 years.
Okay.
The website to go to is darylspecial.com, darylspecial.com, and when you get to that site, what you'll do is the code, there's a place for you to type in a code. The code is SMILE, all capital letters, SMILE, and then it's the year 2015. There's no space between SMILE and the year, okay?
Okay.
So that's my suggestion for you, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, and it's more than just a suggestion. I mean, you absolutely have to do that. If you're going to this, I cannot, for 30 days, if you're geared up now, Sherry, if you're going to get back to work and you're going to commit to building your inventory, you have to do this, all right? Now, what I recommend you do is before you set it up is you take today after this conference call or at some point today and just look at you click around the website just to get a sense of how it works. Watch the videos. I'm sure there's YouTube videos. I know they have great training. So I want you to get familiar and comfortable with the product. And once you are, then go to DarylSpecial.com and type in SMILE2015 and sign up, okay?
Okay.
All right, very good. All right. Sherry, thank you very much for your question. I'm going to open up the call to everybody else. So anybody else on the call, do you have a question, a challenge, something that you're dealing with that you need help with, I'm going to tell you how to unmute yourself so I can hear you. Although I got a couple of people in Arizona, I think, already unmuted. But here's how you would do it. Hit *7 on your keypad. Do it one time. And once you do that, it'll take about 5 seconds to unmute you, and then I'll be able to hear you. So who else has a question, needs help with something?
Hi, Daryl. This is Lauren in Phoenix.
Hi. I'm sorry. What's your name, hon?
Lauren.
Lauren. Okay. Sorry, Lauren. All right. Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. So what can I do for you? What's going on?
So I was reading through your expired letters on the
website,
and my question is, a lot of them kind of are geared towards people who have done a lot of listings in the past or sold listings. But I'm a buyer's agent. So do you have letters that are crafted more to people who really haven't done a lot of listings?
Or great question. So, Lauren, and for everybody else on the call, just so you're clear about what Lauren is asking, after you log into the Power Program website, there is a tab at the header that says Classroom. And when you go to Classroom, there is a lot of great stuff on that website, a tremendous amount. I mean, there's the FSBO dialogue, expired dialogue. There's visuals to use on listing appointments. There's the infamous USA Today article on there that I've shown in my seminars before. There is such great stuff there. And what Lauren is asking about, there's a series of letters that we put together, 7, I believe, and those letters you can send to expired, you know, every day or every other day for 7 or 14 days, and so that's it. So, Lauren, to answer your question, hon, I don't have letters that are for an agent that hasn't done a lot of business, but and I'll be honest with you, I haven't looked at those letters since I wrote them, so I don't even remember what the heck did I say. well, I'm just being honest. But maybe you can tell me this. I'm going to ask you a question, okay? Because being that you looked at the letters more recently than me, I'm going to guess that what you could do is tweak the letter so that it talks not so much about your individual production, but that perhaps you can talk about the office production or even the MLS production, meaning what's been happening in the local market. When you talk about the office side of it, you don't have to say my office. Like, you don't want to highlight that it's not you, but you could say, you know, here's what we did, or here's what we found, or here's what happened recently, or here's the – can you do what I'm suggesting?
Sure. That makes sense.
Okay, good. So that's and the reason why I would think the answer would be yes, because I don't think I would have put those letters up without that having that as an option. So because that's just how my mind thinks. Like, I would have foreseen a, you know, oh, not everybody could use this. Yeah. So anyway, so my answer to you is to tweak it that way. Okay.
Okay, that makes sense. Thank you.
And Lauren, I'm gonna give you a bonus thing that you didn't ask, and this is a bonus for everybody. One of the things that I've seen work really well when it comes to farming And we're not going to talk about farming today, but I do want to say a couple of things about farming. And what I'm speaking about specifically when it comes to farming is taking 500 people in a neighborhood minimum, 500 or more, and doing monthly mailings. Now, in my live seminars, I've always said you should not do farming because it takes too long and it takes money for that to start to pay for itself. To do farming, it'll take you a good 8 months to a year until you get one listing from it, most likely. Now, obviously, the more people you mail to, the better that could be, and the quicker it could happen, but then you're spending more money anyway. So anyway, the exception to doing farming is if you have the money to do it. Now, right now what's happening nationally, and I know for most parts of the country, is that the market has gotten so good, and it's going to continue to do better, that farming is a good option now. You know, when we were seeing a lot of short sales, prices going down, and the market was going in the toilet, even if you had the money, I would tell people don't farm, because that was not a good way to generate business. But now it is, as long as you have the money and the time to do it. So now my punchline here, Lauren, is what made me think about this is because you brought up the letters. To me, the best farming to mail out once a month is not these recipe cards on how to bake a cake or how to fix a car. The best is telling people on letterhead, here's an update as to all what's happened in the market in the last 30 days. So what you can do is actually just list. I just want to keep you informed as somebody in the area. Here is all of the houses that have sold in the last 30 days. Now, Lauren, what you would do is, so that's all the letter would be. So it's a very simple letter. It's not like 10 paragraphs or even 10 sentences. You know, dear Lauren, as an expert in the marketplace and because you live in the neighborhood, I would like to keep you up to date as to what's happening in the market. And here's what's happened in the last 30 days. Here's a list of homes that have recently sold. And then you would list the addresses. You wouldn't list the prices, just the addresses. Then the closing paragraph would be, if you know of anybody who's thinking about buying or selling, I would love the opportunity to serve and help them. And that's it, very simple letter. Now, Lauren, what's powerful about that letter is that I didn't say that I sold these homes. These are all the homes that sold. Doesn't matter who sold them. Are you following me?
Correct, yep.
But because I put it on my letterhead and I'm the one sending out the information, it creates a perception that I did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very powerful letter. It's a very simple approach, and it's very, you know, it's very easy to do. Then the second letter could be same paragraph. You know, as an expert in the area, I like to keep you informed. Just say, here's an update. Here's all of the new homes that have come to market in the last 30 days. So now I just did it just sold. I did it just listed. And the third letter could be a combination of both. And all that's it. Three letters, you rotate it. Letter month one, letter one, month two, letter two, month three, letter three. Then month four, you start again with letter one. Always, and all you have to do, Lauren, is changing the addresses based on what happened in that 30-day period.
Correct.
Does that make sense?
Perfectly.
So that's just a bonus thing for you. And like I said, do not do that if you don't have the money or the time. You know, if you look at postage and you look at the cost of letterhead and all that stuff, 500 minimum, and then you multiply that out by 12 months for it to pay for itself, it's an investment. So no one should do that. The best way to build this inventory right now is expires, door knocking, using the phone, and FSBOs. That's it. Okay. Any other questions, Lauren?
Nope. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Wonderful question. All right, somebody else who has a question on the call, you need some help on something, what you would do is on your keypad, you would hit *7 one time, and that will mute you. So who has a question? *7 just one time, and then I'll be able to hear you. Come on, don't be shy, gang. This is for you. Hello, hello. Any questions? Everybody's doing great. No one has any challenges or concerns. Okay. Well, then I'm going to take it from here. If somebody thinks of something, just start evidence and interrupt me is totally fine. All right, so here's what I'm going to do is in our remaining 35 minutes on the call, let me just fix a couple of things here. Okay, great. On the 35 minutes that's remaining on the call, what I'm going to do is go over the magazine and then give you some other information that you guys need. This month's magazine, there's some really great forms. And by the way, last month's magazine, gang, for those of you who are not on this call, this is your first time here, oh, my gosh, I got to tell you something. My design person kind of yelled at me. She was like, Daryl, this is crazy, this magazine. Last month's magazine, we had over 105 pages of material for you. And if you haven't looked at it, you really need to. I'm going to go over this month's magazine. This month we have about 40 pages. If I have time, I'm going to talk about last month's magazine because I didn't have a chance this month. And as I've said before, every month I give you so much support material, you can't implement it all. So don't try. You know, you look at these magazines and some of the things we talk about, if you just implement one or two things every month, and you improve your skill, you improve your production just by 10% a month, that's 120% a year. And this month what I did was I showed you a sample of this agent. Now, this was an old flyer on page 25. Those of you that do not have the magazine in front of you, just make notes to what I'm saying. But on page 25, this agent had a flyer, broker's open house, 2.5 million, address, here's the date, $200 drawing, brunch is going to be served. It's catered by this company. Anyway, it was a great flyer promoting broker's open house. On the next page, there's a page from Jim Bowden, one of our students, and he has a picture of his office. And in his office lobby, they have this picture board of their houses and their listings. All right. Now, what's really cool about this, and here's the point of why I wanted to send it to you, is what you should do on a listing appointment is have real photos that illustrate your office. Now, one of the things that I did when I would go on listing appointments is I actually joked with the homeowner. I'd say, you know, being that you couldn't come to the office, I figured I'd bring the office to you. And I would, and they would sometimes laugh. They were New Yorkers. They didn't laugh a lot at the beginning of the listing appointment. But anyway, but I remember when I started to show people the inside photos of my office, let me tell you again, the homeowner got sucked in. I still remember to this day. I would turn to, like, let me show you. This is a picture of my broker, Matt. He's opened up a for sale thing. He looks kind of goofy. And over here, this is a picture of our sales pit. And this is where a lot of the agents work. This is where we have our office meeting. Here's our dot board. Anyway, so I would be showing these photos of the inside of our office. And that was one of the moments that most homeowners would actually lean across the table and actually look at these photos. It was pretty awesome. Their body language totally changed from a defensive position to they got sucked into the conversation. So anything that you can do that actually shows real life stuff that you do, flyers that you create, pictures of agents going to your broker's open house, pictures of your sales pit, pictures of your team, real photos in a listing book has so much more impact than if you are part of a franchise and they give you those stock photos. I still prefer a book and pages over a laptop or an iPad. To me, pages, book, there's something about it that just is more, it's less sterile and less of a presentation, more of a conversation. On page 27 in this magazine, I also gave you this fact opinion sheet. Now, there's a couple of great online softwares that help you with getting feedback from agents what's it called? I'm forgetting the name now. Some companies use different showtime or showing time is one of the softwares. But this is a old-fashioned, you know, fax back where you would actually fax or email somebody, hey, give me your opinion about this house. And what you would do is take that information and share it with your homeowner. Now, I see somebody just unmuted themselves. Do you have a question from Fort Worth, Florida? I got Florida on the call. Did somebody
yes,
wanna,
I do.
Yes, who is it?
This is Dana.
Hey, Dana, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. Did you want to say something or ask me something? Go ahead.
I don't know if it's interesting, but because you do so much with expires and such, I'm hoping maybe you can give me some advice for a listing I have that has just lingered. The home has been, it's a good home, and it's priced, it's probably priced too low, but we've been on the market for a long time. We've had several contracts fall through for things that were independent, reasons that were independent of the house. The homeowner decided they wanted to take it off the market for 60 days so that their days on market could restart. And we'll be relisting it in October. And I just am wondering if you have any kind of suggestions for how you can create excitement. It's kind of a unique home in that it has a full in-law quarters in the back, which is unusual. It's in a gated golf course community, and it has a full in-law quarters. And I thought that would be a real selling point, but it seems to be difficult to sell. And
well, Dana, we have to isolate a few things. First of all, I don't think it's a horrible idea that the homeowner wanted to take it off for the 60 days. And now I'm hoping that they're going to relist with you in October, yes?
They are. They are, and they've been very gracious. I mean, I know they have fought off. They've had agents get angry at them that they're continuing to list with me instead of entertaining them.
Well, that's pretty awesome that you have a loyal customer like that. So, and this is a great question. So let's take a look at, well, we have a listing that's getting stale. How do we breathe life back into it? Now, there's a few things we have to look at. You said to me that you think it's underpriced, and to me, when something's not selling, that price is the problem. But then you said something that stopped me from saying that, which is that you have had it go into contract and they have fallen apart. How many times has it been in contract?
Three.
Wow. And those, so, yeah, I agree with you. It's not the price. But unfortunately,
we've had so many showings.
Well, that's the next thing I was going to ask you. So, here's what we know. So number one is it is priced correctly. Why? How do we know this? Number one is that you have three contracts on it. Number two is you're telling me you're getting a lot of showings. So this is good. Now, the reason why these things have fallen apart, I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because we can't do anything about it. I just want to get a sense of it real quick. What were the three reasons why they fell apart?
One of them, I think we had buyers from New Jersey that are used to attorneys, and they got an attorney involved, and they got concerned about something in inspections that was a non-issue.
Got it.
The second one we had, it fell apart for financing. The third one, gentleman who made an offer on it had just recently lost his wife, and I think it was just too soon for him to move, and he backed out and took his house off the market.
Okay, so... now, you did that so well, Dana, the way you articulated those three and so quickly. That's important, and I'm going to tell you why, because that, for right now, probably what you have to overcome is not the price, not the location, any of that stuff. You have to deal with the negative press. Why has it been in contract three times and fallen apart? That's the marketing that I think you have to focus on with the other realtors, okay? So here's
okay.
Here's a few suggestions. Because when you think about it, the realtors, you're taking the house off the market for 2 months. So here's what's going to happen. In October, the buyers that would actively look at this listing don't know the history to this house because they're new to market. You got that?
Correct. And my MLS will show it as 0 days on market, or the market will start over at 60 days.
Exactly.
But, of course,
exactly.
The agent can pull up all the history.
Exactly. So for the buyers, you don't have a stigma to deal with. With the buyers, you don't have negative press or perception to deal with. Now, with the realtors, you do. So I'm going to give you two marketing plans. There's two different things to do with this house to get it sold. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number one is, let's talk about the realtors, the marketing plan, and then we're going to talk about the buyer plan. And it's very simple. So, again, I'm going to do this in less than 5 minutes. As far as the realtors are concerned, make sure when it does come out in October that you do not use any of the old photos that were ever used before. So taking a whole new set of photos to create a whole new feel and look to the property, that's number one. Number two is I would also look at I don't think you need to do anything with the incentive for the realtors. If you wanted to, I would increase the commission. I would not, if you're going to come out at the same price, I would leave everything alone. If the homeowner was considering even dropping it a few thousand or something like that, I would not change the price. I would actually change the selling broker's commission. So instead of reducing the price, I would increase, if the homeowner is willing to reduce the price, I wouldn't. I would increase, take that money they're willing to do and increase the selling broker's commission to make it more attractive there. That's number two. Number three is I would print out or find a whole list of all of the agents that have ever shown the listing before. And I would send out an email telling them that what's going on with this property. You know, dear Dana, I'm sending this email because I don't know if you remember, but you had shown my listing back in Bada Bing. And this house has just had I wanted to communicate with you that this house has just had some one of those bad luck scenarios. We had three contracts. And they fell apart because either financing, attorney killed the deal, or buyer remorse. But what I do want you to know, is that in the time that we had it listing, we've had so much activity, and because you were one of the agents showing, I wanted to give you a heads up, the house is coming back to market. So I would send an email to all of the agents who've shown the listing before, briefly explain just one sentence saying this, we had three contracts, and as you know, our business is crazy. I had buyer remorse, financing fell through, and whatever the third one was, I just fell out of my head. So because you showed the listing before, I wanted to give you an opportunity to pop a sale, or I'm doing a preview for by invitation only, something like that. And so what I would do is do like a pre-showing to all of those agents. Are you following me?
Okay, absolutely. Let me ask
you
this. I also have the list of all the people all the agents that had it that sent out in the search. Would I do anything with those email addresses and those agents?
That searched it but didn't show it?
Well,
yes.
Some of it did search it. There were also those, I can also tell which clients put it in their favorites. But those buyers may all be gone by now.
Yeah, let's not worry about the buyers yet. We're still dealing with the agents, right? So what I would do is I would do a broker's open house by invitation only for just those people before it even comes out on MLS.
Okay.
If you can. So
I can.
Okay, good. Now, the reason why this is so awesome, what I'm telling you, is because what you're going to do is you're going to take people who have already shown an interest in it, and you're going to control the negative stigma you might have, because when those people come to your broker's open house, you've explained to them what's happened before in the email. You're going to now be with them at the open house and say, isn't this friggin' house awesome? Isn't it I know, right? I mean, the homeowners just had such a bad luck, but this thing is going to sell quick, man. I'm so excited. So now these agents are going to leave, and they're going to talk nothing but positive about 1010 Hunt on the Lane. And it's going to help squash the stigma. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. Now, and if the homeowner is considering doing a few cosmetic updates, should I capitalize on that in any way?
I would be careful. I would, because you don't, you want to put a message out there. The house has always been awesome. It didn't sell because of three weird things that have happened, which we can all relate to. So if you were going to say, like, and plus they did these improvements and this improvement, you're almost suggesting the reason why it didn't sell before was because it wasn't a good house. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes.
It's always been a great house. It's always been an undervalued house. It's been a beautiful house. It's just we had, you know, crazy contract things happen. So I'm giving you a jump on this property by coming. Now, let's talk about the buyers. There's two – if anything you can do, if this house is now, it's going to sound like I'm going backwards for a minute. If this house is as good as I think it is based on the little bit that you gave me, it would be better if you sold the house versus another agent selling it. Well, I have two reasons. Number one is obviously you're going to get paid more money. But here's the other reason. You can control the contract better because it's only you dealing with it. So before you would put it out there to the other agents and do that broker's open house by invitation only, I would do your own. And I don't know your MLS and how it works, but if there some MLSs give you the right to list the property but keep it in-house for a certain period of time before it goes out to all the other agents.
I actually have the property listed right now. So, yes, I can do that. I can't. So I have it withheld from the MLS, and I actually do have a listing on it.
All right. So if you don't have it on the MLS and you have it as an exclusive right to sell whatever, which is the term that some of the MLSs use, Before I would do that broker's invitation open house thing, I would do my own public open house, and I would also invite any of those people that put it in their favorite searches and da 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 da. So I would roll it out myself first to the public. Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful.
So I would do that in October, and hopefully you'll pop it. If you pop the sale, you're done. If not, then I would do the broker's open house invitation only, do the small open house. Then I would do another broker's open house to all the other brokers. But I would do that invitation only broker's open house first to the special group of brokers who have tried to help you in the past sell it. Okay? Did that help you, Dana?
It helps me a lot.
I'm so glad.
I appreciate it very much.
You're welcome very much. Okay, who else? Yeah, you're welcome, Dana. Who else has a question that needs some help?
Hi, Daryl. This is Debbie in Orlando. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just wonderful, Debbie. What can I do for you?
Well, this is more on the buyer side. I live in Orlando, you know, which is where my farm is. And in this area, we frequently get into multiple offer situations. And so I just wanted an opinion. When you know you're in a multiple offer situation, and I work with a lot of buyers who need assistance with closing costs, but what I just wanted an opinion as to when putting in an offer, is it best to offer a higher price and no closing costs, or to go in at a lower price, which is in one particular instance even higher than the list price, but no closing costs? Which do you think would be the best, most attractive offer, with or without?
Okay. Okay, got it. Okay, so I'm going to ask this question, Deb. In either scenario, the homeowner may net the same amount. Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you know, if you go with a lower price and no closing costs, all right. So help me work through this step, okay? Because this is a weird question I've never gotten.
Okay. All right. Well, then I don't feel so bad. I feel so stupid about it.
All right. So, but it's a great question, though. So there's two thoughts. If you go with a lower price, it's possible that you're going to get multiple offers, and actually sell above asking price, yes?
Right, but we're kind of banking on that not asking for closing costs and someone else might ask for closing costs, but that might give us a leg up. Does that
right.
make sense? Okay.
Yeah, it does. If you've got multiple offers, then you can be more selective with the type of buyers and the terms that you have. Okay.
I represent the buyer.
You represent the buyer.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I'm sorry. I'm thinking from the listing side. All right. So
I know.
Okay. All right. I erase what I just said. So you're asking me, Daryl, if I've got a buyer and they want to make an offer, do you think it's better to make a high offer asking for help with the closing costs or going with a lower offer and doing their own closing costs? Is that the question?
That's correct.
Okay. I think that if you go in with a higher offer asking for closing costs help, the asking for the closing costs help is going to negate the higher offer much more. So
right.
you would have to present another valuable something in addition to the higher price. So in other words, the offer would be presented strongly with, okay, so here's what we're going to do is we're going to make sure I would present the net number is actually how I would do it. I would present that, and this is actually how I bought my house. I would actually present the net number after the help with the closing costs. So you would focus more on the fact that, all right, here's the offer that we're presenting to the homeowner. They're going to net this number, and we're going to be fine with the closing date if they need extra time, and we're doing an inspection, but we're only going to look for things that cost more than $1,000 to fix the one item. So we're not going to do any nitpicking item stuff like your windows or that kind of stuff. We're just going to make sure that the house is not falling apart. Do you understand? I'm giving you examples, Deb. Do you follow
okay.
what I'm saying?
Right.
So I would – now I'm not done yet. So I would present their net number. I would present the rest of the positives. You know, I'm flexible on closing. I'm going to do an inspection, but I'm not going to nitpick. Actually, I'm going to write it in here that in the inspection, I'm only going to come back to the homeowner if any one item costs more than $1,000 to fix or $500, whatever number. So I'm going to push the heck out of this offer. I'm going to make it sound so beautiful. Are you with me?
Yeah. Do you think, like, calling the lender?
Now, wait. I'm not done. No, hang on. I'm not done yet.
Oh.
I just want to make sure you understand that part. Then once they agree to that, then I'm going to say, now here's just how I'm going to structure the deal. How we're going to structure the deal is we're going to increase the selling price because I just need help with the homeowner to deal with closing costs. So we're going to put the closing costs into the price.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow me, Deb?
Well, I'm kind of following you, except, you know, when I've already put the offer in and it's at their absolute max, you know, the lender's the buyer's pre-approval amount, then I don't really have much wiggle room to, you know, try to go in and offer more money. But what if I ask the lender, hey, you know, can you close in 15 days or can you close in, you know, less than 30 or 45 days? Is that maybe something that would appeal?
Yeah, here's the concept, and if you're asking me a question about something you've already put in, obviously it's, you know,
yes,
the horse is out of the gate. Right,
yes.
So I can't help you too much with something that's already happened. But
right.
moving forward, if you have a situation where you have a buyer that needs help with closing costs,
mm-hmm.
I bought my house this way because my closing costs were like $25,000 because of the price of that, you know, whatever. So
wow.
And I didn't want to spend the $25,000 out of pocket. So I wanted to use that money for something else. So how I presented the offer to the homeowner is all they care about is what they're going to net. They care about two things. Number one is, what am I going to net? And number two is, am I guaranteed that I get to move? If I say mm-hmm. yes to you, am I guaranteed that I'm going to move? That's all they right. care about. And so you present an offer saying, here's what you're going to net, and here's how I guarantee you're going to move, and it's going to be smooth. I'm not going to nitpick with engineer. I'm flexible with the dates. I've already got pre-commitment. We're good to go. And once I get a yes, great. Now, here's all I need to do to structure the deal. As far as the logistics of the deal, we're going to put the closing costs into the price, so the contract price is going to be higher, and the homeowner is going to pay those closing costs, but they're still netting what we've agreed to. So it's almost like a by the way. Do you follow me?
Okay. I think so. So the closing costs that the buyer would have to pay anyway, we're just going to have them pay as the contract price, and then it offsets the closing costs that would be contributed by the seller.
It depends on what the bank's willing to do. It's called seller's concession. There's a limit as to how much they can do. So there's a little bit of that financing stuff that is beyond my pay grade now because things have changed in the financing world. So what I want you to do is with what I just said conceptually is you talk to a mortgage professional that knows how to financially put that scenario together so that way you'll have that as a way of presenting offers in the future, okay?
Oh, excellent. That's a great idea, Daryl. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome, Deb. Again, here's the concept. I'm a concept guy, so even though things change, rules change, da-da-da-da, the concept of real estate is when you're presenting offers to sellers, that's what they care about, those two things. How much am I going to net, and am I going to guarantee that I'm going to move if I say yes, selling the house to you? Most of us, when we try and put deals together, is we convolute and we create more headaches because we get caught in the drama. And that's why people start talking about refrigerators, you know, it's not staying, I want it to stay. Oh, the engineer, we have to fix that little crack in the wall because that could And so what we do as realtors sometimes is we become the gasoline to something that was just a match, And as long as we remember that this is what people are committed to is, you know, netting what they net and moving to their next level. And if we can just keep that focus, we can keep things a lot cleaner, a lot easier, a lot more effective. Okay, so did that help you, Deb?
Very much. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome, Deb. Anybody else have a question that you need help with, something that you're dealing with? We got 7 minutes left on our call. Anybody else? This is you just hit *7 on your keypad one time, and that will unmute you. I'm going to give it 20 more seconds. Cynthia, are you there? Do you have a question?
I am here. I'm calling from Palm Harbor, Florida. I am on the Red X plan. Okay, I signed up a couple weeks ago. I'm not intimidated at all by the telephone. What my problem is, or what I'm thinking is, in the past when I did telemarketing for business brokers, I was leaving messages. I am finding that I am leaving messages for the for sale by owners, okay, but I'm not getting a lot of return calls. And I'm wondering, when you do the Red X and you're calling for sale by owners or expireds, could you tell me, do you leave a message or do you just go on?
All right, Cynthia, great question. Cynthia, did you take the 3-day Sure Results training course that I did this year in Florida? Okay.
Uh-uh.
All right. Because in that program, there is dialogue that I give the students. And I'm only hesitating because I have to remember exactly what that dialogue is.
What program was that now?
Don't worry about it. It's called True Results. It's a 3-day live training course. I only do it once a year in Florida, and it's in Fort Lauderdale, and I just did it 2 months ago. So I'm not going to be back until next year, and that's even if I do it. So I may not even do it. I'm gonna give you the dialogue anyway. I just have to, I'm seeing if I can find my slide. If not, I'm gonna try and do it from memory. So first, let me try that. So if I call you at the FISB, I say, yeah, hi, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. The reason why I was calling is I noticed you're selling your house And as a matter of fact, I have some important information about that. I could even have somebody who's interested in it. But I just have a few questions. Could you please call me back as soon as you're able, and I can share that with you. My cell number is da 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 da. So that is the gist of the dialogue, and I think I nailed it pretty accurately, Cynthia.
You're not really saying the reason for your call, and this is what I did start doing this past week, was just saying, and I don't tell them a realtor until towards the end, you know, so they can get my telephone number and just say, I see that your home is for sale on Zillow or an ad or whatever, and I was wondering if I got some information about that, could you give me a call back at such and such a number? And I have a couple, you know, but I was hoping for a larger response, you know.
Well, I think the dialogue was a little bit different, and I found the dialogue, by the way. Cynthia, I will tell you, my students tell me that they actually they get a lot of people calling them back with this dialogue. So I'm going to do the dialogue again. By the way,
okay.
We're recording this, and we're going to post
okay.
it so you can listen to it later, okay? Hi, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. The reason why I was calling is I noticed you're selling your house, and I have important information about that. I might even have somebody who could be interested. I'm not too sure because I need to get some information from you first. Could you please call me back at
the
dialogue. Now, I just read from the my training manual from that 3-day class,
okay,
and that's the dialogue that the students use. And I would say that you should get back and this is what my students tell me. If you call 10 people, you should get at least 3 calls to 5 calls back out of every 10 with that dialogue.
Wow. 10.
Now, the important information is ambiguous. So the students always ask me, well, Darryl, what important information you have? Well, the important information is your listing presentation, but that's not what you're going to say to them. There's 2 things that happen. Number 1 is when you leave that message, they don't call you back. I've never heard a student say they're concerned that this is what's going to happen, but it's never happened. Now, what happens when somebody calls me and says, well, you called me, you said you had important information? Not one agent has that ever happened to, even though they're concerned about it. But here's how I answer. But here's when the students ask me that, Cynthia, in class, I say, so if you call and say, you call me, you say you had important information, you would simply do this. Well, yes, I noticed your ad, and I see it's a 4-bedroom, 2-bath colonial. Can I just ask you what the size of the property is? And then they'll say what they say. And, I was wondering how the activity's been, and are you working with agents in the sale of your property? And basically, you just ignore what they say at the top of the call, and you just start questioning and having dialogue with them to build a relationship with them, and that whole concern about important information goes away. Does that make sense?
Okay.
So
less is more, basically. Yes, okay.
Exactly, so it's very succinct. So, and I will tell you, you should read that dialogue exactly the way I just did it. Like, it's very simple.
And
where would I find
that dialogue?
That dial. Here's how you're going to get it. You're going to wait for the recording to post on the website. So on the Power Program website, I'll make sure that it's up there by the end of next week, if not sooner. And you'll notice the call is almost 12:00. So when you log in and you listen to our call, Cynthia, just fast forward to the end of the call and then slow it down so you can write the dialogue, okay?
My other question, I know there's never any stupid questions, but this one really is, okay?
Okay.
I tuned into called in, but am I supposed to be looking at something when I'm listening to you? Like, are you live?
No. No, it's not a stupid question at all. No, there is no place to see me. This is just a teleseminar, right? And we might at some point go to like a webinar where you can see slides. And
okay,
see
just double checking. Okay.
Yeah, but no, Cynthia, it's just my voice. No one sees me.
It's
right
fine.
Now.
Perfect.
I'm in a Hawaiian shirt in my office, and there's nothing to really look at anyway.
All right. Well, thank you so much. It's been very entertaining and very informative, so I appreciate it.
All right, Cynthia. Thank you very much. All right, gang. So I'm going to say goodbye now because we're now hitting our 12:00. And I want to just say a couple of things. Number one, I want to thank you for calling in. Number two is, even though I did not go through the magazine, I go through the magazine when you guys don't participate and ask me questions. And the last few months, you have been really good at asking me questions and participating. So if you go, every magazine is created in such a way where it's self-explanatory, so I don't need to go through it. Just to remind people how to access this recording, how to access the magazine and all the other good stuff, is you have to go to our website, thepowerprogram.com, thepowerprogram.com, all one word, no space. You use a username and password that's been sent to you to log in to download and get all this great stuff. If you lost your username and password, just email my office or talk to the chat that's on the website there, and they'll help you through it. The last thing I just want to say to you, don't forget that what we do in real estate is much more than just help people buy and sell. We actually help people get to the next level in their life. So what you do is extremely important. You actually help change people's lives. And the more you focus on that distinction, the more you'll be, you'll want to do your business, the more you'll be more effective at your business. I think when we think like salespeople, it hurts people's perception of you, and it also robs your own joy. I know when we look at ourselves as salespeople, it's like, ugh, not all of us, but a lot of us. But when we look at ourselves as serving others, contributing to others, making a difference in people's lives, now we are more excited to call that FSBO because we're serving, we're not selling. We're more excited to go on a listing presentation because it's a conversation and we want to coach somebody. We want to take buyers out and create that buying experience and help them create new memories in their life. So that's what we do. We help people move from point A to point B, and the money that you make is a gauge as to how many lives you've touched. So go touch a lot of lives, and then you'll get what you need for yourself and your family. God bless you. Thank you very much for calling in. I look forward to talking to you guys on the next call. Until then, don't forget to keep smiling. All right, gang. Bye-bye.